With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting, confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. With the new Ace line, looking effortlessly sophisticated this fall is easy and comfortable. Stock up on crazy cozy sweatpants, shorts, and sweatshirts that elevate your style. They even have blazers, if you're lucky enough to grab one while they're in stock. Mack Weldon balances classic pieces with updated details to keep you looking sharp. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made with the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MACK25.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. New week, new money, as always on Moneyline right here on SiriusXM Channel 159, the Sports Grid Network. I'm Donnie Wrightside. He is Kevin Walsh, and we're here for another entire week to get it started because why, K-Dub? Every single team in the NFL will be underway in the preseason. We can have winners. We can have losers. We can overreact. But the thing I want to start out with most today, talking about the NFL, is you know how when things get good, right? The NFL's like, hey, you know what? Let's make it worse here. How about this as a headline story? The NFL asks on-field officials to focus on illegal contact fouls during 2022 season. Awesome!
Why would you ever even let that be a headline, right? Like, shouldn't that never get out?
Exactly.
Right? Like, why do we know that information? And what, do I have to now flip this around and say this is going to benefit overs in some way? I'm right. Or, you know what I mean? Like, what, there's not enough scoring in the NFL? We love points. I bet overs. It's just the penalties. They're so nauseating. They're so eye-rolling at this rate here. It's a focus?
Yes.
Come on now.
They said it looks like, Kevin, officials flagged illegal contact an average of 97 times per season between 2002 and 2020. That number dropped to 36 last year. Now, if anybody doesn't understand what illegal contact is, let me explain it to you as a gambler. You bet on a team that is currently on defense. It is 3rd and 13. The team A on offense throws a deep ball down the right side in the double coverage that comes nowhere close to a completion. You hear the announcer say there's a flag on the play. It looks like there might be illegal contact. So they have to go through every receiver and tight end and find it. And it was the guy on the top left as opposed to the pass going to the right. And he fell down, stumbled after 5 yards. The other team gets a first down and you lose your mind.
Now, those statistics, though, are a bit jarring. A third of the normal – how did that happen? How do you go from on average in the 90s to in the 30s of illegal contact? What, did they forget it was a penalty in the NFL?
Let me tell you the mandate last year that never got out. Hey, guys, cut down illegal contact. That was the mandate. That's the only thing I can think of, right?
Yeah.
They were told not to call it, and then they got in trouble. Or one of those where, like, the refs get together, hey, man, we're not calling this that much. And big boss man comes down, hold on now. We're an offensive league. You better start ramping this up. I mean, look, I'm a totals guy. So theoretically, this doesn't hurt me all that much outside of, like, a rooting interest on a team. But I got it. Like, nobody likes more penalties. Like, if they told you, like, yesterday, hey, look, holding is a big, you know, deal in the NFL. It's ruining a lot of plays. You know, unless you tackle the guy and it's like a point of contact or something like point of foul where it means like I'm going to get a sack. You just got tackled. Or let somebody slide. It's like, okay, we can live with that. Like everybody can live with that. What does everybody hate? 15 holding calls in a game that call back big plays. We all hate that stuff.
Yeah, this screams never helps me with my bets. Always burns the Philadelphia Eagles. That's what this screams from a mile away. So, excuse my excitement levels if they're not there for this update. But what a great headline to start the week here in the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of other good headlines you get into, like Pete Rose in Philadelphia and putting the mic in front of his face. So there was a lot of good stuff going on over the weekend, but baseball was certainly pretty good. From me, a Phillies fan perspective, awesome. From you, a Yankees perspective, not that great a weekend against the St. Louis Cardinals. But also, around the town, as we like to say. How about this one? This never ceases to amaze me, right? PGA Tour files, I guess, a lawsuit or an injunction to keep Liv Golfers out of the FedEx Cup. So we're back into the news with this, and every time they mention, like, nobody remembers the LIV or Liv Golf is happening until the PGA brings it back up into the news. Mm-hmm. Why is this?
I don't know. It's a bad move. I saw that Bryson and Phil, I guess all of them, were suing the PGA, so
yes.
Maybe this is just kind of a move that, again, is a bit out of necessity here, but you're right. The Liv buzz has died down a little bit. I guess, you know, I saw the Tiger turn down $700 million thing.
Yeah.
That didn't even pick up as much steam, only because we knew he had turned money, big money down to go. So, I don't know. I wasn't too moved by that story. I'm like, what's the next thing for Liv, right? What is the next big thing? What's Buddy's name that won the Open that they were supposed to get? Cam Smith? Whatever happened there? Cam Smith put the kibosh on it all or went into hiding? What happened?
He's waiting for all the legalities to be worked out because he wants to play in the FedEx Cup. Who knows at this point? But I do got to say one thing. Like, you know, Liv Golf, which I initially didn't think was going to last, but when you have unlimited money, it's just about, I guess, the Saudi government or whatever just saying, like, oh, we're just bored of this now for it to stop. But they do have to make some changes. And I understand next year there's going to be more tournaments and more money involved. But give me a reason to pay attention for it. Because when you watch the PGA Tour, you understand the four-round structure. It's on TV. And quite frankly, guys, you know, I saw a 20-year-old one over the weekend. I mean, I don't watch the PGA Tour. Outside of the majors, it's boring. It is absolute boring golf. But at least it's on TV. And if you wanted to watch it, it's there. Don't they got to try to do something? I mean, I don't know about making majors or something has to change with the way they structure, you know, rounds 1 through 3 shotgun and you can't find it and this and that. But money is money, right?
Money is obviously going to be money. Look, I think it's a little tough, though, because you and I are not massive golf fans. So to keep our interest, you almost need like outside silly headlines to kind of get us going, I guess, in a way. So I don't know. We'll see.
Maybe a long drive competition midway through the telecast. Bring the people into the tent. That's what we're doing here on the Sports Grid Network with Moneyline. We're here all week. Stay with us. Let's go. Come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here on a Monday afternoon. Moneyline, right on the grid. If you want to get involved, you know how to do it. Fresh week, fresh money. New week, new money. 844-843-6879 as we step into it today. Now, I do want to talk NFL because I'm getting excited here. Like, we're going to watch a little Eagles action this week. And everybody around the league, which, you know, take a snap here, a snap there from the starter. Then they go to the bench. But it's still interesting to see some of the younger draft picks and guys that you think might shine this year. But the reason I want to bring up this topic is it's one that I've always laughed at in my life. And it's with the Cincinnati Bengals. The cheapest ownership group in the history of the world lives in Cincinnati. Like, I'm talking back in the day. And back in the day, I mean like 15 years ago. The Dallas Cowboys have 37 scouts. Cincinnati has 2 because they don't want to pay anybody. You know, the Paul Brown family there is like 13 of the 15 top executives because they don't want to pay anybody else outside of their family to help them out. Now, there are some changes being made to Paul Brown Stadium. This year, Kevin, is the first year that they are actually going to go outside the building, look up at a ticket gate and go, you know what? We can make a little bit of money if we sponsor this gate. As you know, every NFL stadium you go to, go in the Mercedes-Benz side, go in the Audi side, go in the Nike side, go in the New York Times, whatever it is, side it is. But also, changes coming in the near future where the Cincinnati Bengals are expected to give away the naming rights for the stadium in recent and future months, as it says here. Now, can you guess why that might be, K-Dub?
Well, I would assume inspired through the Steelers move.
Mm-mm. Steelers had a name, Heinz Field, which is now Acrisure Stadium. Right. Paul Brown Stadium has always been Paul Brown Stadium, therefore generating zero revenue as the guy, hey, my dad's team, the blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So you can get $20, $30, $40 million a year by saying your stadium is Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Can you guess why the Cincinnati Bengals are saying after, I don't know, 100 years, why they want to rename their stadium into a advertising thing?
My initial thought was that they saw the Steelers do it and the Bengals care so less about what everybody does, but then they saw a team within their own division and they learned their lesson. Now, did they physically come out or literally come out and say, we're going to have to pay Joe Burrow, we need extra cash around?
They did not say that, but you're talking about a team that scrimps around going, how are we going to pay this quarterback $50 million a year? I don't want to dip into my pockets to pay for that. We need to expand it. Hey, Mr. Brown, I know your dad owned the Browns. What do you say we just turned it into Mercedes-Benz Stadium and get $50 million a year? Never wanted to do in the past, but I guess if we have to pay, good old Joe, here we go.
The only thing that here's the disconnect for me, though, DRS.
Yeah.
I don't understand how your labels, because you're follow a little closer than I do. A cheap organization isn't like re-upping the field's naming rights like every 4 years. Like, why are they holding out?
Yes.
It would make sense if Jerry was like, I have so much money, it's literally going to be called Jerry World and not AT&T Stadium.
Correct.
How is it that Cincinnati, who seems like they really would be overwhelmed by the capital coming into their organization, is still the last holdout here?
It is very odd, and you can realize back to, this is probably now going on 15 years now. I mean, the NFL, every 10, usually a collective bargaining agreement says about 10 years. So every 10th year, we're going to have a strike or a holdout or whatever it would be. But it's not so much the players, Kevin, versus the owners. It's usually owners versus owners, where the big capital markets, which again, credit the NFL for doing this way back with revenue sharing, where the New York Giants are like, you know what, we need Green Bay, as opposed to the New York Giants going, we don't need Green Bay, we're going to make so much more money if Green Bay is here or not. But the health of the league depended on the bigger markets supporting some of the smaller markets. So then when you get into this and say to yourself, all right, when these owners fight with each other, it was always Jerry Jones going, hey, we need a bigger piece of the pie, and the lower, like let's just say the Jacksonville Jaguars or the, you know, Cincinnati's of the world, the Colts of the world, you know, the smaller type markets here outside of the big cities, they would fight with each other. So Jerry Jones stands up at the one meeting and goes, you know what, I'll increase your, you know, X funds by $30 million a year. Let me just give me the rights to your stadium. I'll sell it and put $30 million a year in your pocket so you could shut up over there. Well, you know, that's what they fight about, which nobody understands that. Like outside, you go, oh, you know what? It's my dad's name on the stadium. And that's, I mean, come on, man. You're a business. Everybody's stadium has something crazy on it. And even we joked about the Packers, right? Lambeau. 5 years from now, when Aaron Rodgers is gone and you have no more superstars, you can just hand off Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer quarterback, you're going to sell the naming rights to Lambeau. It'd be like, you know, Honda Stadium at Lambeau Field. Trust me.
But the thing for me with moving on the naming rights is it sounds drastic, but there are two things about that to me, right? One, the Steelers did it.
Yeah.
Hines was as known as anybody else, right, in the NFL in terms of field name. The second thing is the name was Hines.
Yes.
It wasn't Steelers Stadium. Now, Lambeau Field obviously is a little bit more special and all of that comes with. But at the end of the day, when it's called Kraft Stadium and in 5 years, nobody like cares.
Yes.
That's what it is. Now, here's what I can't wait for, though, Don, right? They sell it to, we're just using Kraft as a, you know, a little cheese joke here. But they go, hey, listen, no more that Lambeau Leap nonsense. It's the Kraft jump. You hit the bricks, brother. All right, it's the Lambeau Leap. Enough is enough.
It's the mac and cheese jump there. And it's a sponsored corner. Yeah. It says it right here. Here, do the mac and cheese jump right here at this point. But you're right about that. When you say to yourself, you're upset that Lambeau Field changes his name. Like, I don't like change. And I'm like, you know what? That's wrong. It always should be Lambeau Field. That's an iconic field with decades of history. It's not like, man, I remember the day they renamed Paul Brown Stadium. The NFL was never the same. You're not getting that.
It's a good
change
point.
The name. Nobody will know.
Really
more money in your, but right? Like, who's going to, outside of him, who the father is named after, the stadium is named after the father, outside of him, who cares? Not a single person.
Well, and I feel like if you, you know, can you go back in time like Paul Brown, like, what do you mean? $30, $40 million. Yeah, we'll call it whatever they want, right? Like, it doesn't have to be named after me. Like, if you would have asked me 32 stadiums in the NFL, I don't know how many I'm getting. I know for a fact that if you ask me tomorrow, I'm probably going to miss out on the Cincinnati stadium again, though. Like, it is not a huge name, right? It's really – and there's only a handful of them, I would argue, at least. Like, off the top of my head, would I get half of the NFL? Maybe about there. Maybe less, to be honest with you, though.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, too, because a lot of these sponsor names do, because that's why they sponsor it, right? Heinz Field. Heinz Field is so synonymous with Pittsburgh, you didn't even think about ketchup anymore at that point. It's like, wow, that's a legendary name, unless you went to the game like, oh, yeah, that's right, Heinz Field. Look at the giant ketchup bottles in the end zone. That's right, it's Heinz, and that's what they're known for here. But a lot of these stadiums that are in Staples Center was the best one. Not a single person on Earth, and it's actually a shame because they were so synonymous with Los Angeles. If you watch the game from Staples Center. Never in a million years, Kevin, did it come. Oh, Staples Center. That's right. Yeah, you know what? I got to pick up a stapler tomorrow. I'm glad I saw it at Staples Center. Or I need some office chairs or desks for my room. I'm going to go to Staples and pick that up because I watched that game. So some of them are so, you know, incredibly. Yeah. You know, known worldwide that they lose that luster. Like, we see, like, Lincoln Financial Field. Again, I don't go to Lincoln Financial to look for anything. But you know with that, oh, okay, Lincoln Financial, okay, it's a thing. Huh. Staples Center, ask some of the young kids out there on the block, K-Dub. No idea that that was a actual store you could buy something in.
But that's on the company, though, right? Like, it's kind of the thing. Like, well, like, don't worry about that, right? Like, what is this? The entire, does all of Boston only shave with a Gillette razor? Like, that, like, who cares?
Correct. Yes.
Right? But, like, it's, but I would almost tell you, right? Now, not to the level of Hans, if someone's like, yeah, did you know Gillette's changing? But, like, really? You know, but because that's a name you come to know. But here's the other thing, why do we know Gillette Stadium so well? Because every AFC championship was in that building.
Correct. Up the ante there. That's why maybe Paul Brown Stadium. Maybe they couldn't sell it to anybody, to be honest with you. Maybe Jerry was wrong. Like, who wants to sponsor that? He'd be an embarrassment. Probably a negative on your company in the advertising field. But we're going to continue to talk some NFL here because I got a team I want to look at again. That's the Baltimore Ravens. And why? J.K. Dobbins activated today from the PUP list and what that means for that running game. Come back right here Monday afternoon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, back at it here on a Monday. Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. If you want to get in the groove, talk a little NFL or anything you got, 844-843-6879. If you are waiting, again, this is going to be the two never-ending stories, Kevin, of our life. All right, Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers, when is he going to get cut? And Deshaun Watson, is he actually going to get suspended? When, where, why, and how many games? But before we get to all that fun stuff, I got to tell you, like, just talking over teams sometimes that we do on the morning show and say, you know what? It sticks with you, and you say you get that juices flowing. It's the Baltimore Ravens. Now, as again, J.K. Dobbins popped up in the middle of the afternoon. That's huge because I think we could both agree last year coming into the season, I was just pressing buttons. J.K. Dobbins over. J.K. Dobbins. Now, thank goodness we didn't even take that in to start the season so you didn't lose your money. But I think everybody out there was under the assumption this is going to be Dobbins' year to take off. That's really going to help the Ravens. And 5 weeks into the season, they basically have no starting running backs, and it's all Lamar Jackson. He can't just hold up under all that pressure. But when we talk about that 900 rushing yards for Lamar Jackson, the more I think about how insane it's to take a quarterback who basically needs 1,000 on the ground, God, I like it more and more every time, every second, I should say, that I've thought about it today.
So you're saying that the J.K. Dobbins news is better for the Lamar prop, that he's going to be healthy and out there and available.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I couldn't agree more. Look, the reality on Lamar Jackson, though, here is the thing about the Baltimore Ravens in a bubble. That football team last year with a subpar wide receiver group and feeling like things kind of weren't breaking their way, they were going to the playoffs and very likely winning their division and maybe even would have been the number one overall seed, to be honest with you, had Lamar Jackson not been injured. Lamar missed 5 games last year. I know that people have been waiting for this moment for the running quarterback Lamar Jackson to miss time to run up the I told you so tab. Leave that out on the floor for just a minute here. What we have seen is that if Lamar Jackson plays, the Baltimore Ravens are very obviously one of the four best teams in the AFC, and usually, Donnie, even better than that. Like, they dominate, at minimum, the regular season. Like, always, very, very consistently here. So I'm feeling similar to you as we get closer, because for whatever reason, man, and I don't want to jump shark to Cincinnati too fast, but that team doesn't feel as imposing as people kind of typically would anticipate a group that just went to the Super Bowl. Lamar and Baltimore have a similar amount of attention for me as they do you.
Yeah, not a great offensive line here for the Baltimore Ravens, which is definitely a change from the past. A lot of moving parts, and also Linderbaum, the center, supposed to start this year, went down with an injury. They don't know how long he's going to be out for. And typically, as you said, that because when we talked about it on the early line, it's kind of funny for quarterbacks, specifically mobile quarterbacks, where you say, oh, you got to get a good pass rush on. That's not necessarily the case. Most of the times, we have the super athletic quarterbacks, they're using that mush rush pressure that eventually will get to you, but we want to keep you in the pocket. And if you tell me right now, tough offensive line play here for the Baltimore Ravens, where they're not on it this year, it's crazy how I think Lamar Jackson has an even better year, because then he goes off schedule and starts to make plays where that's where he's the most dangerous, outside the pocket and running. And also when you say, like, oh, wait a minute, Donnie, J.K. Dobbins comes back. What happens if he's a 1,300-yard rusher? Good. Good. That means the chains are moving, A, and when they drop back into an RPO scenario and you put that football in the chest of J.K. Dobbins, that linebacker's not going, psh, yeah, he ain't getting the football. Oh, no, he did get the football 10 yards around the right end. That was supposed to be my play, but I thought Lamar Jackson was keeping the football. That helps. As dumb as that sounds, that helps. It's the same way we talked about Kyler Murray this morning on that. For me, if the offensive line breaks down against a good pass rush, that means your quarterback should run wild that game.
Yeah, no doubt about it, right? And Lamar is going to do what's necessary, right? Unlike some of these very interesting feelings we have about a Kyler Murray, right? We know that Lamar is ready to run. It's what makes Lamar Lamar. And that's another thing that happens sometimes in the evaluation of Lamar Jackson, right? If you were to do a Madden-style rating, people would be like, Lamar Jackson, the passer, is an 82. That guy stinks. It's like, yeah, but he's 1,000 on the rushing, and that's why he's a 90-plus. You know, like, that is what makes him who he is. I mean, we all agree that if Lamar Jackson wasn't allowed to run, he wouldn't be the quarterback that he is. Good thing he runs for 1,000 yards every single season.
Yeah, no, it is a good thing there. And I'm trying to find some statistics here. Did they have any? They don't have any Andrews props up on the FanDuel Sportsbook here for receiving yards.
Oh, I guess not.
That here.
You know, kind of I don't think they did.
Because they have other tight ends up. Like,
oh,
why
sure.
Because they don't know if, like, Lamar, they think Lamar's going to sit out. Like, what is that?
No, because they have the Lamar numbers. There are
there's no other wide. No DuVernay, no Prochet, no Bateman either.
Well, certainly not, right? There are certain spots where you can see the FanDuel Sportsbook is protecting themselves a little bit there. But what's on to me is, if they posted a Mark Andrew numbers, I would think they would get most bets on the over. I would assume most of their season-long bets are towards the over. I feel like the news, only bad news towards a Mark Andrews over could come in. Like the Ravens have signed, not an elite wide receiver, but Will Fuller. For example, right? Or they made a trade for a guy that was on the, you know, the cut line, perhaps. And this guy might come in and, you know, steal some reps and could sneaky be the star of the show. And Mark Andrews is an interesting cat, because we obviously know the tight end position has these megastars. You go through and look at what Mark Andrews did down the back end of last year's NFL season. Listen, that guy being your number one is not a bad option. Much better than Romeo Doubs.
I thought Romeo was doing good things over the weekend here. Sort of,
yeah,
hey, you know what? Now, we don't have. Let me just scroll down here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Yeah, I'm not finding Romeo Doubs props here for receiving touchdowns and or receiving yards. So that is such a shame that we don't have that here. But just talking overall about Baltimore, a little bit higher on them. There's two teams that I think, and again, I don't think Baltimore's winning the division. I do think the Cincinnati Bengals win this division. But I'm looking at that wide receiver core for the Baltimore Ravens. And I just, sometimes you just miss the boat, though. And again, I know you're expecting Lamar Jackson to do it all, the same way we expect like an Aaron Rodgers to do it all. Like, ah, we'll make do. But in what world, like when you have a legitimate MVP caliber quarterback, and oh, Donnie, you know, he doesn't pass the football. He's shown that he can throw for over 30 touchdowns in a 16-game season, so he certainly can throw for that range in a 17-game season. Like, why are you not, like, make him happy? Like, go out and get a number one wide receiver and bring him in and be like, hey, you know what? We trust you, man. Like, launch it up to this guy, because the jokes even I used to make is, no number one wide receiver wants to go and play with Lamar Jackson. But money talks. You pay them like they're a number one, and they are a number one. Like an A.J. Brown going to, you know, the Baltimore Ravens. You'd have a different outlook on, hey, look at this. 100%. That 10-yard out where it's one-on-one coverage, yeah, he's got you there. Not maybe Rashad Bateman or Devin DuVernay.
1,000%. See, that is the thing. Like, yes, if everything was even, right, for a wide receiver – and their option was Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson. I understand the decision being made there. But what you need to be able to... There were huge talents available in the trade market this offseason for the wide receiver position. And you made no moves in that direction, right? Like, the Eagles offered up, what was it, the 18th pick in this year's draft? The Baltimore Ravens saw the Philadelphia Eagles jump them to come up and draft Jordan Davis, who the Ravens were desiring. And then again, like, Baltimore ultimately was unable to, you know, to bring in a wide receiver of A.J. Brown's level, certainly the benefit of having multiple, you know, first-round picks. But if in that moment there, you're telling me the Baltimore Ravens, whomever they selected, Kyle Hamilton, who, look, I think Kyle Hamilton is going to be a fantastic NFL player, don't get me wrong. But, Donnie, what's going to lead to more wins this season, Kyle Hamilton or A.J. Brown, if you were a Baltimore Raven, right?
Yeah.
So that is kind of the big gap there. The thing to me with there's a couple of divisions. The NFC South. Look, you'll always check over everything, but I'd be stunned if I go through it and come away with a, oh, I don't like the Bucs this year, the schedule's too hard kind of. It's the Buffalo Bills, right, a similar outlook. But correct. There are some divisions here where you're going to go through that schedule. And we did it with the Rams, to be honest with you, which was a little bit of a surprise. Man, that thing's a bear. I don't want to guarantee, but I think you go through the Ravens schedule, the Bengals schedule, and I think the difference maker is probably just going to be who you think has a softer run at this thing, more so than maybe piece by piece, talent by talent.
Yes, and also, here's what I want to get into as well. Lamar Jackson, obviously, he's going to get paid sooner or later, but it doesn't look like sooner is coming right now. He's in camp. He's playing the good soldier, working out, not ripping the organization to shreds, not taking a page out in the paper saying, I can't believe my team isn't signing me. It's their fault, not my fault. Hope you guys know that, which actually worked out in Arizona. But Lamar Jackson says he's hopeful on a deal with the Ravens, but says talks will have a cutoff. Now, if anybody follows me on Twitter, you saw me with the little meme emoji out there with the guy with his head exploding. Why? Justin Tucker just got made the highest paid kicker in the NFL. Took care of him, no problem. As soon as another guy got his deal, they made it come right over the top. Hey, Justin, you're worth a lot to us. Now, we know that, you know, Lamar Jackson is worth a ton, but come on, K-Dub. When is enough? When is his money coming?
Yeah, the thing we've said, though, is Lamar is not playing hardball, but Lamar is basically saying, listen, you might think I don't know what's going on here with the lack of agent, but I do. The longer you wait, the more expensive this is going to get. So I'm not worried about it. Call me when you're serious. And I think the Ravens are caught in an in-between mode of, do they ante up right now or do they ride this thing out?
Yeah, we got to talk a lot more about this Baltimore Ravens team and Lamar Jackson when that money is coming in and what it means to him. He can't go into the season without a new contract. Kenny, come on back and talk with it. If you want to call in and give your opinion, 844-843-6879.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Moneyline, Monday afternoon, right here on the grid. It's Sonny Wrightside and Kevin Walsh. Some quick notes here in Major League Baseball. Fernando Tatis finally, Kevin, finally starts his rehab assignment here on his way back to the major leagues with the Padres. But the one, I guess, we're going to be taking shots at this, I assume, all week long. Because the reason is I need to be reminded about this stuff because nobody cares. 2022 MLB Field of Dreams game is actually this Thursday. And you're saying to yourself, boy, I heard a lot about that last year with the excitement building up to it. Everybody watched it and, you know, off it went. Exciting game. Yankees get beat because I believe maybe a walk. It was like Tim Anderson walk-off home run. Somebody, I think, hit a walk-off bomb last year. But it was awesome. Memorable, fantastic stuff, great theater. Now, answer me this. Like, last year was big news. And, again, the second year of this, these things usually isn't as big a spectacle because we've seen it before. Kevin Costner might have got that phone call. Hey, by the way, year two of this? Yeah, you know what? I got a little occasion I got to attend to out on the West Coast. Sorry, but maybe next time. You getting that feeling for this one? Come on.
Here's the thing. While I understand the idea that debuts always, always, always catch the eye, but everything imaginable went right in the debut. I believe it was an 8-7 final score. Beautiful. It had a top of the ninth inning home run by Giancarlo Stanton that I think gave the Yankees the lead, if at minimum tied the game. It was a moonshot, as most of the homers on the night were. And in the bottom of the ninth, Tim Anderson walked it off in unreal fashion. They had fireworks ready. Tim Anderson was going wild. It all of a sudden felt like a, you know, kind of place for kids where the emotions were flying. It was a spectacle. Everything went right. All they needed for this Thursday was to have good baseball teams playing. That is all they needed. And they have dropped the ball in an unforgivable way. They have two teams there that we knew were going to be bad. Why they're from the same division, making it one of 19 games played between another, is beyond me. If you were to see, Donnie, before we played Yankees White Sox, if I would have told you that a tanking Cubs and a tanking Reds would be in this game next year, you would have probably changed the channel and said, well, this must have not worked. Something must have gone wrong. For that to work in spades, and us to now be getting Reds, Cubs, it is impossible. How is that possible?
Now, were they thinking this, K-Dub, because it's played in the Midwest in Iowa. Did they think that because it was going to be the Cubs and the Reds that they could have a sellout in that tiny, they were worried about fans attending the game? Oh, they're close by. They'll come out to this thing. Now, this is one of those games, Kevin, where let's just say there's 10,000 total seats. They probably give away like 3,000 to the local community just so they can have actual fans in the stands. Because if you're a Cubs fan, he's like, you know what, I got to get out this game. My Cubs are in it. Who are your Cubs? And at least they kept Happ and Contreras. That would have been hilarious if both of those guys had actually moved on. But people will watch just for the spectacle overall because it is cool, and I will tune in to get a look at it. But nowhere near it could it be as perfect as last year. Everything about it, from the opening of it where Costner came in, the players who were absolute, I mean, on both of those teams, giants walking through the corn, like 6-7 apiece on both sides. Here we go. Let's play baseball. What a fun night it was that you lose all of that juice. The only thing could have been worse is, like, you know what? It was so good out there at the Field of Dreams. We're going to, like, move it to, like, downtown Oakland and build the Field of Dreams there and put, like, the A's in it. You know what I mean? Like, come on now. You didn't need to change it, but I just thought it was an interesting story to pop up where, oh, yeah, that's right. It's this week. And also, I know they can't do things, and I don't know why they can't. But does it make more sense here, Kevin? You know what I'm going to say. It's August the 8th. So what is it, 8th, 9th, 10th? Let's just August 11th. You know football season is about to get in the full swing. Can't you do this early July, late July, before football is even kicking off in any way, shape, or form with training camps, late June? Wouldn't there be more eyeballs there? You pick a game, go, all right, late June, we know that the NBA Finals are there. Let's pick a day, because you know a year in advance when it's probably going to be, to sort of stay off of that. Why can't you do that? Like, why would they play it at this time? And also, Kevin, after the trade deadline, where these two teams stink.
Yeah, but here's the, so last year's game, I just looked this up, was August 12th, right? So they kept the timeline that was there last year, because my guess, Donnie, is last year we didn't think to ourselves, yeah, we're going to watch preseason football over this nonsense. Because that's crazy. That's a crazy thought, right? If this was, let's just say, oh, we wanted last, you know, year one.
Was it a Thursday, K-Dub? Was it a Thursday last year?
Does it? I don't know. 12th, isn't that just like how calendars work? I would assume yes. I'll do a quick double check for you here. Yes, it was. Yes, it was
all
a
right.
Thursday.
Okay, so it was a, all right, because I would have loved it if it was like a Tuesday, and they're like, you know, let's just go Thursday and go football. No. Okay, go ahead.
So it was on a Thursday. Yeah, but Donnie, like, that, again, speaks to the thing. Last year, we weren't like, oh, come on, I'm watching the preseason game, right? We were watching, the Field of Dreams game, right? We had fantastic booths, and we had unbelievable different kind of, you know, free bonus bet kind of setups all of a sudden. That, by the way, we were getting advertising for a ways out. Is that advertising back? Is there a gang of Field of Dreams advertisements coming on here?
Yeah. That's why I had to, like, get a, hey, look, there's actually the game is coming back this week.
Right.
It hasn't felt like where I get splashed by Fox or whoever it's going to be on or ESPN or whatever, like, you know, months in advance, get ready, it's coming, you know, another Field of Dreams game. It sort of snuck up on me because we joked about it like 2 weeks ago when we finally realized it was maybe Major League Baseball was smart. And we're just going to surprise them. Be like, hey, you know what, tune in for this game. Ooh, and they're like, hey, wait a second. I didn't know it was these two bad teams. Maybe you don't want to promote the two horrendous teams as if that might be a negative at that point.
Yeah. But you had – here's
the
other
thing. You did have two games last year on preseason on that day. It was Patriots, Commanders, Steelers, and the Eagles. Wow, are we watching over the Steelers-Eagles? What's going on?
We were watching it a little – wait a minute. Was Steelers-Eagles – something happened with Steelers-Eagles. Yes. But something happened. Did the Eagles throw like a screen route that went like 70 yards for a score? Did the Eagles win that football game? Were they winning that football game early?
Steelers 24-16, but the Eagles had a 10-0 lead right off of the bat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We were getting jazzed up about it, I think. the early Eagles lead there. But Don, right, so let's just say it had to be American League, right?
Yes.
Last year. So you want to go National League. I think you don't do divisional play, right? And let's just say, like, listen, we also don't know if we should do a West Coast team because kind of the – but you can do the West Coast. Who cares, right? Everything. Like what's the end? Like, you did Yankees, White Sox, right? Like, Dodgers, Braves, right? I mean, is that a layup? Is that such a layup? Like, the NLCS rematch on Fox?
Yes.
Like, how was that not exactly what happened here?
Yeah, there's a reason why the NFL in the opening game of the regular season is usually an absolute banger because they understand that's what the fans want to see. We're going to watch football because they could take this approach. You know what? Fans going to watch football anyway. Let's throw one of those crap Thursday night games on that Thursday night to start the season. Let's just say like Jets-Bears. Like we'll watch it. We'll be fired up. But then again, it's still Jets-Bears. But they go, no. Opening night. Super Bowl champion, your house. We're going to bring a 10-bell opponent to play you, and that's how we're getting this season started off. Rams versus Bills. Everybody's excited for. Sometimes you think Major League Baseball doesn't think all the way. Also, don't tell me there's something. Hey, by the way, it was American League last year. It's got to be National League this year, and this is how it works out. It's crazy if they would even think that. It should just be a dream matchup where you say, now, you don't want to pull a team to play a single game against each other on a Thursday. I can see that because you want to start the series. But you can't tell me you look across Major League Baseball for that, you know, two-week stretch in August where there's not a great baseball game or a great series that you can pull for one day. Or say, oh, we can't fly into Iowa and then get to, Chicago the next day. What? They're going to do that anyway.
What, they think that the Chicago teams need to host every year?
Yes, correct, yes.
Like, it's 2022. Like, the flights are fine. They have days off in between the games, I think, as well.
I think they do, too, which is ridiculous. Like, I mean, I'm starting to hate on this game now. It shouldn't be.
No, but this is what they did because they decided to... What I cannot figure out for the life of me, though, Donnie, is I can't give you a reason as to why it makes any sense. That is the first sign of that. I was like, oh, my God, is that what they think? My best guess is that they said we wanted to transition from AL to NL, and we think it should be in Chicago, or a Chicago team should be home. which is unbelievably stupid. I can't sugarcoat.
How about this? It always has to be a Midwestern team at home because, you know, the travel's just too much and you shouldn't be. I'm telling you, man, it is pretty wild when you break it down that we're spending time. And again, maybe this is what Major League Baseball wanted, that a show day that's just like, you know, we're cranked up on football, gets sidetracked, not because the baseball game is exciting, we can't wait to watch it, but it's to rip on it here and say, come on, you can get this thing right. We're going to have odds boosts on this game. And who is going to be an odds boost? Can anybody outside, like, grant, take away, like, Wilson Contreras and Joey Votto? The public can't even name, most people can't even name Wilson Contreras anyway, on top of if they saw him just in a picture lineup. But who are the stars in this game that are going to keep you around? It would be so fitting if this game was like 1-0 in the bottom of the eighth. Like, ooh, this is a great game. No, it's not. It means nobody can actually hit the baseball.
This is, I hear what you're saying, and yes, like, it's good that we are talking about it, right? But it's for all the wrong reasons.
Yes.
Like, if this is going to drum up their business, us being like, this is ridiculous, then okay, fine. What a crazy business model, though.
Yeah, it is a crazy business model. But I do want to get back to talking here. And right before we hit this break, we could certainly bleed over into the next segment as well. To make the playoffs market here, and I bring up the Baltimore Ravens, because we're only talking about a little bit Ravens. Last year, overall record, K-Dub, 8-9. Points scored 17th in the NFL. Points allowed 19th in the NFL, which is very un-Ravens-like. Offensive team grades here, 16th overall, which meant offense 17th and defense 23rd, as we just talked about. Special teams is around 12th, even though they're the best kicker in the history of the National Football League. Their market, Kevin, a minus 156, favored to get to the playoffs. What are those wins going to look like from me, right? Because we can expand on that after the break. Is this a double-digit win team, or is this one of those teams that says, hey, you know what? Wild card or bust for us here, and we're going to be playing right through weeks 17 and 18 in the regular season where we need that 18th game just to get into the playoffs. What are we looking at from the Ravens?
This is a team, Donnie, that, again, we've talked about it. If Lamar Jackson is out there, they are in a fantastic spot. That is continually true. I mean, look at what happened for this group last year, right? No Lamar Jackson for 5 total games. And they still went 8-9, and trust me, they were not winning football games in Lamar's absence. Plus, we know of all the 2-point conversion madness. Donnie, this is a team that was 8-3, and lost out. They lost out DRS ultimately there. Lamar played the next week. If you remember, that was the first time they tried a 2-point conversion and were unable to get it. And they just continued to not be able to cross the finish line. So, Donnie, double-digit wins, without a shadow of a doubt, we can start right there.
Yeah, quick segment coming up here before we hit the top of the hour. I'm going to give K-Dub the schedule here in December and January for the Baltimore Ravens, see how that pertains to maybe a playoff push. Come on back with us, Moneyline, right here on a month.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick segment before we hit the top of the hour with hour number 2 on Moneyline here on a Monday. It's Donnie and Kevin. If you want to get involved in hour number 2, you can. 844-843-6879. It's teaser time with JP. Back in a new week. Fresh money. Very short Major League Baseball card. But I got to tell you, there are some spots that I do like. So, JP, where do we think we're going with tonight? Where?
I'll tell you the game, and then you guys can guess the prop I took on the other side. I'm going to the Yankees-Mariners game.
Oh, okay. Yanks-Mariners. So the prop meaning over or under a team total?
No, not a total.
You bet a prop. Wow.
Yeah, it's a prop.
Like a player prop. Yeah. All right.
Yes.
Mm. Ah. So strikeout prop maybe?
Nah, but that doesn't seem his bag, right?
Home run prop? Hitter prop? Yeah. Hitter prop parlay?
That also doesn't seem his bag. You know what? I'll tell you what market he's
throw
in.
Throw me off.
He's in the 2+ bases market. Because if we go all the way back, like this started off like JP giving out plays, was him betting like Trout 2+ bases. Yeah. So I know he's at least familiar with that market.
Okay.
Now, typical JP fashion, I'm pretty sure that Trout like didn't play that day. Like he got scratched from the lineup. You know what I mean? Which has kind of been an ongoing thing here. The question becomes, does he lay a minus 120 on Aaron Judge? Ooh. All right, I got my guess.
Yeah, I'm going to have to think of something here. This one's throwing me off a little bit at this part, but let me see if we can find that out. I'll find something over the break as we get it going. And also, we're going to get back to talking some Ravens football early in hour number two, because I do want to go over this schedule and maybe how it sets up for a tough playoff run, but more importantly, maybe the ultimate MVP run for Lamar Jackson if he is healthy and still playing football into December, as we think he will be. It's a Football Monday here on the Sports Grid Network. How about that? Everybody in action this week in preseason, and off we go, and we are so close. What, a month away from the regular season, the NFL getting it started? That's how we do it on Moneyline. Come on back with us right after this break. Hour number two.